Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to all of you on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube Live, and Facebook Live. Thank you for joining our community of faith family tonight as we get ourselves caught up with Read the Word, where we're reading through the Bible chronologically, reading a very specific amount of scriptures every day. And then we'll read the Bible through in 1 year chronologically. It's been quite a study. And my schedule has changed. And God's bringing me to an opportunity that is a very interesting opportunity. And I've had to really stretch in the last 3 weeks. But I think we're finally getting ourselves back to where we got it all in, going to be very normal. And so thank you for your prayers, honestly, for every one of you that's prayed. Thank you. All of us here at the Community of Faith, say thank you. Everybody on the Zoomers, say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, so tonight we're going to read the Word, and we're going to catch up 2 more days, depending on how long that takes us. We might catch up 4 days. I will catch up and mustard, and we will be where we're supposed to be. And hope some of you caught that joke in there, but maybe you didn't. Maybe I slid it right by you.
Catch up and mustard. Whatever floats your boat, honey, just get on with the scripture.
You know, I'm not sure why I say that, but I just do. It's just there. So thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of us. It was so amazing tonight. We got to be a part of Brother Miracle Man's program. 17 nations. Now, 3 of those nations, he knows people in the United States, America, India, and Nepal. His dad, and which is really a stepdad, but he calls him dad, is actually from India. And so naturally, in India and Nepal, he's going to have some family members that are streaming with him. But the rest of those nations, Rivers doesn't even know anybody there. And yet 17 nations, his program is streaming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday every week. And it's just an amazing thing. To a young man in Midland, Michigan, blind, deaf except for a cochlear implant and the anointing of Jesus. And yet 26 miracles, documented medical miracles, have happened in his life, and we give God glory for it. That was a great program. If you'd like the link, we could send it to you so you could listen to it. It was a lot of fun. It's 5-year anniversary. Just think, 5 years ago today, I was sitting in a McDonald's in Midland, Michigan, showing him how he's blind, showing him how to make it happen. And you talk about him, a possibility thinker, and thinking in faith. I'm like, all right, we'll figure this out one way or another. 700 programs he's done. And we give God glory for that. Well, you ready? Let's pray. And we'll get ourselves started here. I'm going to pull this up, and I'm going to share the screen, and we're all going to pray our prayer together. Oops, number one. There it is. You ready? Almost. There we go. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, let's read the word. Isaiah chapter 28, right? Get to the right screen here. I'm getting to the right screen right now. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 28 through Isaiah 34. Now, remember, Isaiah is a contemporary. Wait, what did we say? 28. Isaiah chapter 28. There we go. Now, Isaiah is a contemporary with Jonah, Amos, Hosea, and Michael, Micah. And he was underneath the kingdoms of Jehoash, Jeroboam II, Uzziah. That's when he wrote the book at the beginning, in the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and Manasseh. And then the Syrians came and took Isaiah away. He was carried away in the northern kingdom. And Isaiah is probably considered the most major prophet there is. And Isaiah is a prophecy that is pretty much all written, or not all, but has the most prophecies about Jesus of any of the prophetic books. And Mary Pastorek. So the more we read in Isaiah, the more prophecies we're going to see about Jesus. And let me remind you of this fact. As we're reading this chronologically, so that means in the order that it happened historically. And as we read this, we got to remember that Israel literally makes God so angry, I don't know, hurt, not, God ain't going to get hurt, but he has to judge them so severe that there's 400 years after Malachi where God does not speak to anyone on the earth. 400 years. Could you imagine going 4 minutes thinking that I have to wait at least 4 minutes before God can talk to me? And they were so stiff-necked and rebellious that they had made God so angry that there was 400 years of silence from heaven.
What did they do to make him angry?
They just kept sinning and rebelling, going after false gods, sacrificing their babies to the god of Baal. They just kept being stiff-necked and rebellious, walking away from him. And would not turn. That's the worst part. God, it's not a big deal if you've done wrong, you've been a sinner, you've been rebellious. It's not a big deal as long as you turn. But the problem is they weren't turning. And they were not repenting. And God sent them some good kings and the prophets. And yet, well, we're getting ready to see it right here. You ready? Isaiah chapter 28. We have been reading the different woes to the different nations. This is woe to Ephraim and Jerusalem. Ephraim is one of the sons of Jacob. He's one of the tribes of Israel. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. You don't want God saying that to you about you. He called them drunkards. Why? Because they were drunkards. And he said, which is at the head of the verdant valleys, to those who are overcome with wine, behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing. Who will bring them down to the earth with his hand? The crown of pride. Look what that says. The drunkards of Ephraim will be trampled underfoot, and the glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is the head of the verdant valley. Now, I want you to notice this is the second time that it's written, and in Hebrew writing, when they write the same thing twice, it's declaring it's established. Now, like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees, he eats it up while it's still in his hand. That's always the way I was when my mom took us out picking blueberries or huckleberries. I never could seem to get my bowl full because I was just going to eat them as fast as I picked them. Anybody else like me that way?
All normal people.
All the normal people.
True. Very true. Yep.
Sunday, do you remember Brother Huff?
Yeah, kind of.
He had the goat.
Yeah.
He told my mom about a good place to go blackberry picking one day. And he was very persistent. Are you going? Yeah, I'll probably be there, you know, Monday at this time, whatever. So we get out there in this woods, and there's blackberries everywhere. And my mom liked to pick, you know, blackberries and strawberries and all kinds of stuff like that. And he kept telling her that there were bears out there, so be careful. So we're there picking blackberries, and all of a sudden we hear one, you know, out in the woods. And it's like, oh, my. And this is my mom with five small children, a year apart. So my sister Beth was probably 8, and Becky was 7, and I was 6, and Esther was 5, and Joel was 3. And my mom's like, everybody get around me. And it's Brother Huff out in the woods playing a joke.
Oh, my goodness. That's not funny.
Oh,
no, it ain't.
It wasn't funny when it happened, but it was funny afterwards because here's this elderly man. He was up in his 80s, and he's making a really good joke. He's a good man. He's a goat farmer. Like literal goats. We used to milk these goats for him. Anyways, that doesn't have anything to do with this lesson. It's just a wonderful story, and I wanted to share it with you. Now, back to the Bible, before Sister Phyllis tells us, get back to the Bible.
I was just going to ask you whether or not the man found out what a knuckle sandwich was.
I know my mom protected her little cubs, and don't mess with Mama Bear, because that's not going to be a good idea for you. Anyways, verse number 5. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. I receive the spirit of justice, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. In other words, God is going to give you supernatural power to stand up and fight. Verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink and are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. I don't know how people can tell you it's right to drink. You can see it right here. Hold on just a second. It's a beautiful sun, but I got to be able to see. There we go. It's not the glory disappearing. It's just the sun. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. They were literally drinking so much that they would fall down on the table in vomit. That's sick. Evening, Nicole Olson from Minnesota. Welcome, man. It's good to see you with us here. We're in Isaiah chapter 28, and tonight we're reading the word. That's one of our programs. Verse number 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's one of the foundation principles of renewing your mind and growing in God. Precept must be upon precept. Precept on a precept. We learn everything in layers. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little bit, there a little bit. That's why he said, as you see the days approaching, gather together all the more. Because the more you're there, you're going to get a little from each session, and it's going to set you free. Keep reading. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Now, naturally, that is a foreign nation that was going to come in and take over Israel and Judah. But it's also a prophecy about tongues. And I have a wonderful story on this. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. They chose not to hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Verse 10, he tells us it's the answer. Verse 13, he tells us it's going to destroy some people because they refuse to submit to his process of renewing your mind and building your life on the Word of God. And they keep going to church and religion and churchianity saying, no, my answer is in that building with that group of people. And that your answer is in this word, walking daily with your Father, God. That's the answer. Look at verse number 13. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood, we have hidden ourselves. Now, look at verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. I'm going to tell you two quick stories because I'm inspired by God to do it. And they match this verse very, very specifically. The first one is my story. And the second one is Brother Terry Mize's story. I was called one day to go to the hospital and pray for a man of God, been a pastor for many years, that something would happen because they were saying his whole system in his body was just messed up. And he was a Vietnam vet, so he probably had Agent Orange problems, you know, all kinds of stuff. He hadn't slept in like 3 days in the hospital. And they asked if I would come pray. And I'm like, well, all right. So on my way there, I had to travel about 2.5 hours. I just prayed in the Holy Spirit. Because I'm like, I don't even know what to say. This man's been in the ministry 35 years, you know. I'm just starting. All the way there, this was the verse that God was giving me. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. So I got there to the hospital, and I went to the nurse's desk, which I always do, and, you know, introduced myself and told them who I was there for. Of course, that was all pre-COVID, so, you know, that was back when you could just be a real human. And they're like, well, he just fell asleep. We don't want to wake him. I'm like, well, that's okay. I'll just go into the bedroom, and I'll just silently pray. I won't wake him up. And they're like, okay, please don't wake him up. He just got to sleep and hasn't slept for 3 days. Can you imagine how uncomfortable and how gnarly you're going to be if you hadn't slept for 3 days? Besides that, he was a Marine. But I walked in and he was awake. And he's like, wow, thanks for coming to prayer. I'm like, just go to sleep, dude. Just go to sleep. Sir, I didn't call him dude. And he just laid his head back. And for 45 minutes, I just walked back and forth in that room very quietly, praying in the Spirit, speaking this verse of Scripture. This is the rest by which we may cause the weary to rest. And he went so sound asleep, he was snoring, and they could hear him clear down at the nurse's station. And they come to the room, and I'm like, do not take his temperature, his blood pressure, or anything. They're like, no, we're not doing that. Whatever you're doing is working. Because he's snoring. I'm just walking back and forth in the room, praying in the Spirit softly. He wasn't even the kind of preacher that would accept praying in the Spirit. But God put him to sleep. 45 minutes later, I felt the release, went home. The next day, we found out, I don't remember, he slept for like 8 hours. Woke up totally refreshed, and in the matter of a day, maybe two, was home from the hospital. Well, what was it, Pastor? I don't know. It's what I said in the realm of the spirit. But the Terry Mines tells the story of landing in a village somewhere in South America, I believe, or Central America somewhere. And when he landed his airplane, they came running, Brother Terry, we need you. And so off he went to be Terry the doctor. And he had a doctor with him. And a young lady had fallen into a fire and had burnt her whole arm from her fingers all the way to her shoulder, third degree burns. And of course, it's in the jungle, so it's hot. There's no bandages. There's no antibiotics. It's filled with worms and grubs, and it's very bad infected. And he looked at the doctor and said, what are you going to do? He said, I got to debris it all. I got to take all that dead flesh off. And he said, I don't have any anesthetics. I don't think she can handle it. And Brother Terry said, well, let's lay her down on the bed, on the, you know, the medical bed, and I'll do my part, and Doc, you do yours. He laid her down on the bed. He put his cheek up against that little girl's cheek and began to pray in the spirit. This is the rest by which the weary will rest. The little girl fell asleep and did not wake up until the doctor was finished. Brother Terry was just bent over there by her with his cheek up against her cheek. What? It's what the Holy Spirit showed him to do. This is the power of praying in the Holy Spirit. Sister Sunday prayed for Joey and Kathy and Matt, their family, before we got started, and she prayed in the Spirit. What did she say? I don't know. Holy Spirit didn't reveal it to me. But we know that in the spirit, she was prophesying an answer into this situation. And this verse says, this is the rest by which you may cause the weary to rest. That's one of the powerful forces of being able to pray in the Holy Spirit. Used it often with my grandsons when they were young, small babies. They were crying or something, and you don't know what's wrong. Pick them up. Carry him and speak this verse while you pray in the spirit. You might say, Pastor, I don't pray in the spirit. Well, then get there. Get the verses out. Meditate on them until it becomes a major revelation and that power of God fills your being and out of your belly flows rivers of living water. And I got lots of teachings on that to help you get there. And now we're back to reading. Now, see, I just told two stories in about 7 minutes. I think I did really good. Verse number 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. This is speaking of Jesus. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled from made a covenant with death. And your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning, it'll pass over, and day by day and by night. It'll be a terror just to understand the report. For the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself in it. For the Lord will rise up as a mount, as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. Now therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts. a destruction determined even upon the whole earth, and that's during the tribulation. Not only was it there, but that's also the tribulation. Isaiah is literally prophesying to them about them. He's telling the future. 22, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods when he has leveled its surface? Does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed places, and the spelt in its place? For he, notice that he is capitalized, for he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him. One of the things I was saying today on the Miracle Man show, God is instructing you and me from the inside out, not from heaven down upon our head. 27, for the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground. Therefore, he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horse. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who was wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Now he's talking about the harvest. You can learn about cumin and black cumin here and flour. But he's also talking about the future. It's not going to just crush everybody. 29, verse number 1. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. And year to year, let feasts come around. I will distress Ariel. There shall be heaviness and sorrow. It shall be to me as Ariel. I will encamp against you all around. I will lay siege against you with a mound. I will raise siege works against you. You shall be brought down. You shall speak out of the ground. Your speech shall be low out of the dust. Your voice shall be like a medium's out of the ground. And your speech shall whisper out of the dust. And just like that, I have another story to tell. But we'll keep reading. Verse 5, moreover, the multitude of your foes shall be like fine dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones like chaff that passes away. Yes, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. Psalm 1 says the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Verse 6, you will be punished by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise. Wow, that was that sound that they heard in Canada and Kentucky and England. The storm, tempest, the flame of devouring fire. The multitude of all the nations who fight against Ariel. Even all who fight against her and her fortress and her distressor shall be as a dream of a night vision. Verse 8, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and look, he eats. But he awakes and his soul is still empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and look, he drinks. But he awakes, and indeed he is faint. And his soul still craves, so the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion. God sending them because they're so wicked. And yet God is saying, I will not utterly destroy. The blindness of disobedience. Verse 9. Pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. He's covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Verse 12, then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he says, I'm not literate. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. Don't just draw near with your mouth. Be a doer of the word of God. Be a doer. Verse 15, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? And who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? That's what these people are saying when they say they can get a sex change. I just said it. Can you say to the potter, you don't know what you're doing? That's literally what they're saying. That's why God gives so many of them over to a reprobate mind. And many of them, it happens quickly because you're literally looking at the Creator saying, you don't know what you're doing. You do not want to be in that condition no matter what you've ever thought or felt or anything else. You do not want to be in that place with God the Creator. Let's keep reading. Verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while till Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? And the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Our ears are open and our eyes are seeing. 19, the humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice, for the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed. All who watch for iniquity are cut off. Who make a man an offender by a word and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate and turn again the just by empty words. Don't do it. Don't be found with those scornful people, because God's going to consume them with the wrath of his judgment. 23. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. Say it with me. There's no shame in the kingdom of God.
There is no shame in the kingdom of God.
There's no shame. When you and I say to someone, shame on you, Well, let's just back up. Don't say it ever again. Why would we want to put shame on somebody? Well, Pastor, they've done wrong and they've sinned. Well, what about your sin and mine? Well, I haven't sinned. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has. And fallen short of the glory of God. I'm going to read it again. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in his midst, they will hallow my name. Those two my's are capitalized. And hallow the Holy One of Jacob. And the fear of the God, and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding. And those who complain will learn doctrine. There's a promise for any of you that have a loved one who's gone astray. The work of my hands in this his midst, they will hallow my name. They will hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding. I'm telling you right now, anybody in your family that's having trouble coming to an understanding of God, just make sure you don't stop speaking the word of God and life more abundantly for them. Just keep speaking it and declaring that God sends them an infallible proof that they cannot deny, because that's what he did for the disciples. All right, chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Do not add sin to sin. If you only knew how much I just wanted to stop and preach right now. Verse 2. Who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. Wow. The strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. Wow. Wow. And trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan. His ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. Verse 6, the burden against the beast of the south through a land of trouble and anguish from which come the lioness and lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on the humps of camels to a people who shall not profit. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I have called her Rahab Hemshibeth, a rebellious people. Verse number 8. Now go, write it before them on a tablet. Note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Here's the verses that I was, these are just a couple verses. These weren't necessarily the ones I was speaking to you, Mary, but these verses are that. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. I've been listening to Brother Terry all day, on one of his, Brother Terry Mize, and he said, I would literally pick my Bible up and say, ear, incline yourself unto the word of God. And then he said, I put my face in it and say, eyes, see the word. Why? Because he was that serious that I can walk like God, talk like God, and act like God. Keep reading. Verse 10, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Do you see what these people are saying to the prophets? I'm not sure if you were listening to that video I put out last night, but on there it read about how King Saul told a bunch of his men to kill Abiathar the priest, and they looked at him and said, I ain't killing no priest. You kill the priest that you want. I'm not going to put my hand to God's anointed. Just don't do it. Verse 10. Say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. That's what the people are asking the prophets to prophesy. Well, slap you upside your head. That's what we'd say in Eastern Kentucky. I don't know what they say in Louisiana, but
smack, something like that.
Smack you right upside your head. Don't do that. I'm not a violent person. That's just what you said. That's just a statement. Like when you went to the corner store, you had to say, y'all come over now, you see, you hear and see. I just had one room and a bed. I didn't want any of them people to come see me. But when you said it, it wasn't that they all packed up the car to come see you. That's just how you said it. What? Get out of the way. Turn aside from the paths. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. 12. Now look at what God says. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. He shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But look at this verse. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee. And you said, oh, ride the swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. Did you notice that God is giving them exactly the words of their mouth? He's allowing themselves to judge themselves. 17. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, but when you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded image of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It'll be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. Like the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. It's a pretty serious judgment we're reading right here. Verse 27, behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. There's so much in here to preach, but I just can't stop and preach. His breath is like an overflowing stream, which reaches up to the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song in the night when the holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as one goes with a flute. Come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. Want to say that out loud with me? The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. I love it. And show the descent of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstone. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rod. And in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps. And in battles of brandishing, he will fight with them. For the Tophet was established of old. Yes, for the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. Pyre is fire with much wood. And the breath of the Lord is like a stream of brimstone. Kindles it. I'm still at daylight here. What are we doing? 28, 29, and 30. Let me see.
You got 3 more chapters to go.
I realize that. There it is. All right, chapter 31. How are we doing for time? If I can stop telling stories, only thing about stories is they come to prove this word. Here we go.
It's 10 minutes till 9.
We got lots of time.
Yeah.
Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they're very strong. Look at this statement. Who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. Verse 4. For thus the Lord has spoken to me. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise, till the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for its hill. Like birds flying about, so with the Lord of hosts, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will also preserve it. Now, I want to just preach, but I can't. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. Return to him against whom the children of Israel deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold. Sin, which your own hands have made for themselves. Verse 8. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man. And a sword not of mankind shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor. Yeah, I believe Isaiah. Amen. Amen, Sunday. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. You know, when you read that chapter, they have it titled in my Bible, The Folly of Not Trusting God. Boy, is that just true. Because you can trust in horses and cattle. You can trust in cars and houses, big bank accounts, investment accounts. But what is all that? Jesus said, lay up your treasure, not where moth and rust and decay can get to it. And when you do it here on earth, then all of those things can get to it. But when you sow it as a seed, now all of a sudden it's producing a hundredfold return for it. I almost drank the whole 2 liter while I was talking with Brother Rivers. Going. I am in. I want to read 31:2. Yes, he also is wise and will bring a disaster and will call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. The Egyptians are men and not God. I don't have this verse memorized, but I will before long. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down. They will all perish together. Pause just a second. Man, this is really good. A lion roaring and young lion over his prey, when multitudes of shepherds are summoned against him, he'll not be afraid of their voice nor be disturbed by their noise. For the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for his hill. Like birds flying about, so the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made for yourself. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man. And a sword not of mankind shall devour him. And he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear. His princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Chapter 32. Here we go. This is Jesus. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. That's you and me. A man will be a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. Isaiah 32, verse 2. As rivers of water in a dry land, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now think about it. There was a river of water flowing out of that rock. It had to feed about 3 million, 6 million people, depending on how big the mixed multitude was. And some people told me they just thought it was a little rock laying on the ground. Well, in my opinion, you're not going to get enough water out of that little rock laying on the ground if you strike it and have an abundant stream of water to cause the whole nation of Israel and all of its livestock to have enough. But I think he struck the rock of a mountain. Anyways, keep reading. Verse 3, the eyes of those who see will not be dim. I love that. There's a promise for eyesight right there. And the ears of those who hear will listen. There's a promise for ear sight. Heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous. God help us get to that quickly. Nor the miser said to be bountiful, for the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity. To practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Also, the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things. Think about what the Apostle Paul said, and I think Jesus said it too, but he made a statement. A generous man lends, expecting nothing in return. And you can see all the way through this part right here that Isaiah is prophesying by the Spirit. God's moving. God's judging. God's blessing. Get in the blessing. That's what he's prophesying. Oh, I just want to preach tonight, but I got to just read. Verse 5, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. That's where we are right now. Surely their valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveling man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the city. He regards no man. The earth mourns and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and shriveled. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Verse number 10. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be like the burnings of lime, like thorns cut up. They shall be turned into the fire. Hear, you who are afar off, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinner in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has ceased the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting fire? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression. Man, this is good reading. Who gestures with his hand, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from the hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from the seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Verse 17, your eyes will see the king and his beauty. They shall see the land that is very far off. Your heart will meditate on Terah. Where is the scribe? Where is he who waves? Where is he who counts the towers? You shall not see a fierce people, a people of obscure speech beyond perception, of a stammering tongue that you cannot understand. Verse 1. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will be taken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. That's a serious promise from God. But there the majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams in which no gallery with oars will sail, nor majestic ships pass by. 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, and he will save us. Your tackle is loose. They could not strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then the prey of the great plunder, the lame take the prey, and the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. People who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Chapter 34. We're getting it done. Just stick with us. Thank you, God, for the majestic word of God. Amen. If you're on Facebook with us tonight, I encourage you to click like or love or say something. I don't seem to see any chats over there at all. But if you're there, say hello or something so that we can be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Chapter 34. Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and... For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their enemies, their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter, and their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Wow. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, as a fruit falling from a fig tree. For my word, my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom, and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidney of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Eden. The wild oxen will come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood and their dust saturated with fatness. I'm telling you right now, guys, God spoke so loud and so clearly to his children that they had no excuse, and neither do you and I. Anyways, woo! Verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its stream shall be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. From generation to generation, it shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. There's the pelican again. And the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. He shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. What a sad day that God has to speak to his people who have one of the greatest inheritances there ever was, but because they choose not to believe, because they choose not to walk, whoops, in the paths of righteousness. They're choosing it. Then God says it'll all be desolate. 13, and the thorns shall come up in its palaces, nettles and brambles in its fortresses. It shall be a habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall bleat to its companion. Also the night creature shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There the arrow snake shall make her nest and lay eggs, and hatch and gather them under her shadow. There also shall the hawks be gathered, every one with her mate. 16. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. He cast out the lot for them, and his hand has divided it among them with a measuring line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. When you think, when God says you're going to be desolate, you're going to be desolate. And the beast of the field will come, and they will dwell. And they'll obey God. They'll obey God. And it's so sad. It's so sad. It's so sad. That not only did God bring them up out of Egypt and set them free with 10 amazing miracles immediately. And yet as soon as they got to the Red Sea, they began to murmur. And as soon as they got on the other side, they began to murmur. The next time they didn't have food, they murmured. And then there ain't nothing wrong with going to the man of God and saying, what is God going to do now? But instead they were complaining. And you don't want to be the complainant, because that doesn't make God happy. And in all reality, it doesn't make you happy either. Because you get that on the inside of you, and you're like, I don't want to be that way. I do not want to be that way. And the difference between the children of Israel then and you and I now is we are grafted into the vine, and Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, lives in us. He didn't live in these people. We have atonement by reconciliation and redemption in the blood. We have atonement. Their atonement was covering. Our atonement is purging. Their atonement made them right with God for one day or however long they could muster enough strength not to sin. Our atonement, Jesus himself comes and lives on the inside, and he makes us the righteousness of God. Well, let's pray. And we'll finish this session of Read the Word. We got it done. 2 days. And then we'll receive communion together when we're finished. Ready, Father? Thank you for the majestic Word of God. Thank you. Thank you that since the beginning of Genesis, when we started at the beginning of this year, Lord, it's so easy to see now this cycle. Do good, love God, be blessed, start going downhill, forget all about you, living in their great prosperity you brought, going into bondage, repenting of their sins, coming back, and you bless them. And we see that going around and around and around. You said, great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. You said that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, for your name's sake. We receive it, and we walk in it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, here's what we're going to do, because it's just too late to go at it again. So we're going to receive communion. Sister Phyllis, can you read the communion verses? Because I have forgotten my communion elements.
All righty.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. verses 23 through 28, verse 31. And then make sure you add those extra verses in the book of 1 John because I like them.
All righty. That's 1 Corinthians 11, right?
1 Corinthians 11, yep.
Okay, and you don't like for me to read verse 22?
That's all right. I'm all right.
Okay.
You read. I'll be right back.
All right. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Okay, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And you just have to give me a couple of minutes here to find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. There's such short verses that I get lost. 1st John 4. We'll start with verse 16, if you don't mind.
You don't mind.
19.
Well, wait. I do mind my mom, but I don't mind you reading.
And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, in him.
Hallelujah.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen. So, Sister Phyllis, I want you to go all the way up to 12. And let's read 12, 13, 14, and 15.
Okay.
You're adjusting my whole communion service here, but it's all right.
Well, I'm just going to read from 12, verse 12, all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 21. But I'll settle for a few verses here. Okay. I have a star there on my book that says start at verse 11. Anyway, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God.
Amen.
Good enough, or you want me to go ahead?
No, that's good enough, because what's getting ready to happen is I'm fixing to go to preaching, because I got preach all over me tonight, but I don't want to do that. See, look at that verse. By this we know that we abide in him, and he abides in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We've asked for the Spirit, and he's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. Verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Now, this is just like John 3:16, John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. As we know and we have known and believed the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Man, this is just rich. It's time to pray the prayer of salvation. But I just want to preach. It doesn't matter. Pray the prayer of salvation. Now, for somebody that might be with us tonight, and this is your first time ever with us, see, Sister Nicole was with us. She's been with us before, and we're so glad to have you back with us, Nicole. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation now. Why? Because it's the precursor. It's the beginning. It's the requirement to be born again to receive the communion elements. Anybody who has become a part of the body of Christ, that's what happens when you're born again, can receive communion elements anytime they're offered. But, like verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. And then let him, and then examine yourself. And if you find yourself out of order, then pray the prayer. If you find yourself in order, pray this prayer. And I'll ask all of my Zoomers that are with me that would like to pray the prayer with me. The prayer of salvation. Everybody pray it. Pray it from the depths of your heart. You might close your eyes. You might fold your hands. Some of you might kneel down. That's all right. It does. The posture is not the important part, but the posture is not wrong. So if one of those is your preferred way of praying, make sure you do that. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody went to sleep.
I'm sorry, I'm writing in my book. It's hard to handle my tongue and my hand at the same time. Okay, go ahead.
Wait. It's almost impossible, isn't it?
It's difficult for an old woman to do that many
things well. It's a very difficult thing to do, to speak one thing and mean another. there's a powerful lesson in that. Are you ready? I think Sister Phyllis is ready now since she's the only one that spoke. But I welcome all of the Zoomers to join with us. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And John 1:12.
And John 1:12.
And 1 John 4:15 and 16.
And 1 John 4:10 through 21.
I know when I believe in you.
I know when I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
you give me everlasting
and
life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen.
Amen. And amen.
Now, that's the first time you prayed that prayer? Obviously, on the inside of your being, you're like, wow, something's going on in here. Yeah, what's going on is Jesus just came inside of you. And Jesus is the light of the world. And now the light of the world lives in you, and everywhere you go, you're going to be confronting the darkness, bringing the light. Everywhere you go. It's the most amazing thing that we get to do. And man, Brother Doug was telling me testimonies today about how God used his Christian testimony all through his military career. There was amazing testimony. Now watch this. You and I receive the author and the finisher of our faith. The very author of faith lives inside of you, so yes, you do have faith. You do. You have faith. You might say, Pastor, I don't even get it. Well, then send me some questions and we'll answer them, and we'll answer them with the teaching on faith. Now, all of that just happened on the inside of you. You were just made a new creation, and you were adopted into the family of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. Honest to goodness. Actuality, you have now the opportunity to become a partaker of the divine nature of God according to the book of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you can't say, wow, I can, wow, wow, wow. Well, I can just keep going. You might say, how do I live as a Christian? Listen, don't put any kind of Christianese on what just happened to you. Walk with God every day as a believer. Wake up in the morning and say, I believe in you, Lord. And when you do, then as soon as you make that statement, and then God's going to move on the inside. And just keep making the statement. I'm a believer. I believe in God. You might be like, you know, this Bible don't seem to make much sense. Just stick with us. Let us know that you've been born again, and we'll send you some introductory videos to the things of God that will help you walk with God every day. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I'm just going to keep preaching to you. I got preaching. Let's receive the communion elements. Those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, you're now right with God. Your first act of righteousness is going to be receiving the communion elements. Get you some bread and grape juice. Get you some bread and water, whatever you got, some crackers. We're going to pray a prayer and bless them. Then we're going to pray over the bread and take it. And then we're going to pray over the cup and take it. We're going to use the words, by the blood of Jesus, often. Why? Because I got to get your mouth saying, by the blood of Jesus. Because it is the power, it is one of the power forces of your life. And everything I'm getting ready to pray is straight out of the Word of God. And it is powerful. You ready? Hold your elements up and let's pray our prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. For your blood. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your righteousness. We receive it. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
Jesus. I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
From my life.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have passed
and
away.
All things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
Right here, right now, today.
Right here, right now, today.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus'
mighty
name.
In Jesus'
mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Let's receive
amen.
His bloodshed. You know, it's interesting, the last couple of nights, I don't know, maybe the last week, I keep hearing all these songs about the blood and the cross. And it's good. They're old hymns and they're good ones. They're not the ones that's got the bad doctrine in them. They're actually good ones. And this is the verse that I'm hearing. It's part of the song at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not the Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly claim him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burning soul found liberty at Calvary. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I just want all y'all to know, I sure enjoy being with you as our great family in God. All of you that joined us by Blog Talk Radio, those of you that joined us on YouTube and Facebook, thank you for being there. I'll tell you, I got the report today of our YouTube again. Listen to this. Let me just pull this up. You got to see this. most certainly did not delete it.
The report about how many people viewed?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
It's even more amazing if I can find it. Hold on. don't you just love it? You're all confident. You know right where it is. It's like, what? All right, here it is. In the last 28 days, 797 views of the program.
Awesome. That's a big amen.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that is super.
Now, somewhere here, it shows the hours. But, you know, it's just, there it is. Well, somewhere it showed how many hours. It was a lot of hours worth of listening. We have a total of 33 returning viewers that are coming regularly. Somebody's talking. Where did that go? Oh, there it is. Nope. Well, anyways. I've got a whole new app for this, and obviously I don't know where it is. The watch time in hours. Where did that go? Anyways, it was like, it was like 1,200 hours. It was an outrageous number. But what I say is glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want us in any way. It's not a pride thing. It's just thank you, Jesus, for all of the people that are coming and being a part of this with us.
It is definitely okay to boast in the glory of the Lord.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyway. It's very interesting. Sister Francetta's baptism is in the top of the videos that are being viewed. Glory to God. Well, thank you everybody for being here and being a part of this. Those of you that's on YouTube and Facebook, you know, Facebook has made it a lot more difficult recently to be a part because of how they're acting, but I ain't worried about it. We're going to keep using them, and we just command in Jesus' mighty name, be a blessing to us, and don't be a curse. God said he'll bless those who bless us, and you're going to get the opposite if you don't. And so we just bless you today, and we thank God. Thank you, Father, that there is such a deal as Facebook and YouTube, and help us be good people on here. And Lord, bless all the people that are coming to see it and learn and grow and develop from what we're teaching. Bless them. We pray right now the blessing of the Lord. Everybody say it. We call you blessed.
We call you blessed.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, remember that tomorrow morning at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Sister Leanne will be live with the morning prayer, which used to be the noon prayer. But right now, it's had to change to morning prayer until we get a greater grip on this thing. But that's all right. God's given us the strength. And it's interesting. I can see something coming, but I'm not sure what to tell you it is, but it's going to be amazing, whatever it is. And I just keep saying, even so, Lord Jesus, make it happen. we're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for the blessing of God in our life.
Pastor Sam,
yeah.
God don't give junk.
God don't give junk.
You know, he don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's going to be something wonderful.
Yep. Somebody was asking me about it today. I'm like, this is the last thing in the world I want to be doing right now. But I got over that because I can tell there's an assignment in it. It's different.
Well, it's the only thing I want to be doing right now. Are you ready for the dude's benediction, baby?
I am, sort of. But really, I just was wanting to talk, but I probably better not do that either. Go ahead. Benediction.
Well, just so you can release YouTube and
yep.
Facebook. And
yep.
then we can just talk for the next 8 hours. Okay, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hold your hands up and say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive all the hundredfold.
I receive all the hundredfold.
That belongs to me.
That belongs to me.
That I brought tonight. My supply to this ministry.
My supply to this ministry.
I want to see that hundredfold.
I want to see that hundredfold.
Preaching the gospel right here on this earth. So that we can reach many more people.
So that we can reach many more people.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Now, for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, right there in the notes of the program, you can find the email address, website. Send me an email. Please. I want to hear from you. Just because we'd love to know who you are and where you are and be a blessing to you in one way or another. And if you're in one of the foreign nations that we're in, 47 different nations around the world, and you'd like to get it in your native language, I can help you do that. Just send me an email and say, Pastor, how can you help me do it? And I'll show you the plan that God's given me. And it'll be a blessing to you and to everybody in your native language. It'll really make it available for everybody. And think about it. It doesn't cost anything. So if there's no charge, there's no excuse. Might as well have the blessing of God in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Until we see you again, everybody say it with me. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord.
He is Lord. Right here.